preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. We're continuing that interview on the doctrine of regeneration that I recently gave at Covenant Radio.
A discussion with Chris Gordon on the Reformed doctrine of regeneration in part two of our What is Reformed Theology series. Stay tuned to episode 129 of Covenant Radio, October 14th. 2010.
In terms of, you know, evangelism today and the way that we're doing things, you know, it's so cheap. You know, stuff attracts in somebody's pocket and think we've done our job. You know, the real problem is that you know, we have not assumed that evangelism, it takes place in the local church when the gospel's preached. So we don't have a value of really bringing people back to hear the word proclaimed. And that is the place where they need to be. Sitting under that word, as the Spirit does convict the heart and plants life there, so that they are changed, they are able to hear. But anyways, I just want to make sure that it's important to say that it's bringing people back to the place where God has promised to bless and evangelize the lost in the preaching of His word in that special means. If we just had a real appreciation for that again today, and it was actually being done in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, preaching Christ from all Scripture. These cheap evangelism tricks and techniques would really be exposed.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd put Christian movie industry out of business. I remember as a teenager, I remember sitting under watching this movie called I don't want to say Left Behind because that wasn't it. It was what was the name of that movie? It scared me half to death. That's all I.
You watched those movies too? I remember those.
It was.
Who didn't?
I was scared of the guillotine after that.
What was the name? What was that name of that movie? It was. It was the one where the woman was dreaming that the rapture had occurred, and then when she woke up, it wasn't a dream anymore. It actually did occur. What was the name of that movie? Oh, whatever.
I remember going and seeing that movie, and yeah, I was terrified as a kid.
I must have gotten saved that. Six times after that night. Every time I got afraid, and I was petrified, and I'm telling you, I prayed that magic prayer that everybody. Well, okay, and I mean it scared me half to death. But you know what? There was nothing in it. I was just scared.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. No, the Spirit had not done the thing that had to be done, and that is I had to come to that place where I looked at myself and said, "You're dead meat in the face of a holy God. You're a sinner. He is not. There is." Justice that has to be paid. I that wasn't the problem. My problem was I didn't want to get left behind. I didn't want to get, you know, didn't want to be one of these people running around and people chasing after me and all this that had nothing to do with it.
Well, especially when Hal Lindsey was telling you that those locusts in Revelation were Cobra helicopters. I mean, that was scary.
Oh man, yeah. And it's interesting too. Just to consider, I mean, I don't think any of us want to take away from the zeal with which people will pursue what they believe is a right approach. I mean, they believe these people need Christ, and they do. And so, you know, that's laudable and all. But you're right. I mean, your statement that this it really ends up cheapening things, the way it's gone about sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, the ordinary means of grace, as we've often said, really need to be brought back front and center. And you know, another thing I was thinking about just as you're talking is, you know, the endeavor of bringing people to Christ, so that He might be made manifest to them, is something that can't be done on a street corner. Very effectively. We want to do hit and run evangelism, I think, rather than, you know, really embracing people and inviting them along to hear the word. That takes effort and time and a little different understanding of what it's all about.
Well, that's right. And you know, you could do so much better than the, was it four spiritual laws? I mean, you know, that doesn't really show that we care about them. And I think that, you know, aside from all the, you know, goofy things that are going on, and we expose those things, and we have to, it's very tragic. It's very tragic, you know, that we aren't, we don't have bleeding hearts to put people back under the means God has chosen to save. And recovery of that would just it would be wonderful. And I think to some degree there is today among some of the younger evangelicals who are really searching. Seems to me, you know, that there's some sort of frustration happening with the mega church movement and these sort of things. So there's a lot of searching going on right now. And as you guys are doing, you know, we're saying, look, the Reformed faith provides a wonderful basis and a wonderful its theology is wonderful to advance in everything that we do, the gospel of Christ, so that sinners would come under that power and regenerating work of the Spirit.
Just a programming note, the movie is A Thief in the Night.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I Googled it. I had to know. It was it was very much disturbing me that I didn't remember it. I guess maybe it was a good thing that I didn't remember it. But anyway, that was the name of the movie. But anyway, we're running a little short on time, Chris. But I wanted to get to a couple more of the kind of wrap-up type questions.
Sure.
This one probably isn't really a wrap-up type question, but we talked a little bit about how whether regeneration precedes faith or is it simultaneous, or did we? Did we talk about that? I don't think we did.
Well, we did a little, but we can go further with that, whatever you'd like.
Well, I guess the million-dollar question that most anti-Calvinistic people, or those who are opposed to God's sovereignty and election and salvation, that they would say that regeneration follows faith.
Right.
But the Reformed faith has a much different view on that.
Yeah, much different view, and again, this just it gets back to basically what our problem is. It gets back to our whole discussion with regard to the spiritual state of man. You know, being dead, what you're essentially saying is that man is not totally depraved. Man does have, he's not, as total depravity includes total ability. Most evangelicals would say, no, there is ability today. And what we're desperately trying to hold on to is a certain freedom and boasting that makes salvation something that we do. And it's as simple as that. And the fact is, being dead in trespasses and sins, we cannot produce life in ourselves. So we have to maintain, to give God the glory in our salvation, we have to be clear and we have to maintain that it is the Spirit's work. Regeneration always precedes faith. That is the Spirit's work of implanting life in the heart so that the fruit of that will be what we experience in conversion, which is faith, trusting in Christ, and that turning of our lives to Him.
Absolutely. That's right. Now, Chris, to wrap up for this afternoon, are there resources? Suppose that a listener was is listening to this program and he's like, wow, you know, that's kind of, I've never heard this before. I've never heard it put this way before, or I never understood it to be this before. But now I'm intrigued. I want to look into this further. What kind of resources might you offer someone in that situation?
Well, I'm looking at about 3,000 books right now that I would thumb through, and which ones do I recommend?
Well, that should make it easy if there's 3,000 of them. I'm sure you could tell me one or two.
Well, I guess, you know, any of the good, it depends on, you know, where somebody is, you know, how theologically minded. I would always recommend a good systematic theology, and you know, Burkhoff explains these things very well, you know, and depending on one's level of understanding, you know, you've got big Burkhoff and middle Burkhoff and little Burkhoff. So, you know, middle Burkhoff is designed for high school students. So, you know, this is that's really helpful for somebody who wants to look at things in a systematic way. You know, there are other theological works and things on the work of the Holy Spirit that would be extremely helpful on this. But you know, all of them are escaping me at the moment, and I have to think about it more.
Yeah, if I can interrupt, just one that came up, because as I was thinking, listening to you two talk about the pressure issue, the issue of the pressure on people going out to share Christ with folks, feeling pressured to bring them in, or reel them in, don't just hook them or whatever. But I, one of the very influential books in my own understanding of the whole issue of what the gospel is and how it's shared was Packer's little book, Evangelism and Sovereignty of God.
Very good little book.
Fantastic book, and really addresses the nature of faithfulness in preaching and what it is, and that is truthfulness to the Word of God. The degree to which you're truthful and faithful to the Word, that is your responsibility, and that's where it ends.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, many of the contemporary critiques of the modern church, you know, the evangelical church movement and things that are going on, provide a real good perspective on what the ministry is to be, and how that ministry is dependent on the work of the Spirit. And any work and reform works on the work of the Holy Spirit would be wonderful in that regard. And Michael Horton and others have done really good work. You know, when it comes to appreciating the means of grace, you know, I just love his work on a better way. I just think that it's one of my favorite works on that, to explain what the design of ministry should be. And I think recovering an appreciation of the means of grace today is the first step in understanding, you know, how the Lord has chosen to work in Romans 10. You know, how Christ is brought to us. Christ is brought to us through the foolishness of the message preached.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, like you said, there's plenty out there, and a zealous pursuer of this information could simply Google it, I guess. But then, you know, you could walk into a plethora of other craziness. And
well, if somebody's listening and wants to know, have them, they're welcome to email me too. I don't know if you guys provide email addresses. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
Be happy.
Okay.
To do that.
That'd be great. Chris, it's been great. I know, and we do appreciate you being on to talk about this subject. It's been a great conversation, and I trust our listeners will benefit from this discussion.
Well, that was part of an interview that I recently gave at Covenant Radio. You can visit at covenantradio.org to listen to the whole of that. We thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and we invite you to join us for worship this Sunday. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.